after four Xeroxings, the fifth Xeroxing, there is no printout. But the impression of its origin will still be stored in the computer. So when he looks at you, he can go way back into so many incarnations to pick up. So you, but that doesn't say you're vulnerable or you're sick. It means that you've come through that level of confrontation to develop the immune ratio that makes that print out no longer possible to print, but not being stored. It has to be stored. You can't, there's no way to prevent it being stored. Mm-hmm. But there's a way to insulate it from printing.
Mm-hmm. And insulate printing physically, everything, mentally and emotionally, right, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But that's like antibodies. Then there's your immunization. It's staying in the computer, keeps you strong and immune.
Yeah.
If Don was honest, if I did iridology on him, I would say he's a very sick man, but he doesn't allow it to come out of the printer. But it's still in the record where you can go through the computer and see the possibilities that he was carrying, but what he's refused to let print.
See, I broke every part up twice of this disregarded there.
So you overcome your strength.
If you just randomly came to me, I would say, oh my God, send this guy to Adano.
Oh, that was
great.
Well, hello, Star.
Hello.
Star. You missed a good program last night.
Oh, really? Do you think I missed it? I was working on that missing.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that's good. Then the rain fell right.
Yeah. It was yesterday morning in my office. I had thought to throw the coin whether I should come to you last night. And it said no.
Good.
And so I remembered what you said.
That's good.
I did what I was told. I feel much stronger.
Well, you really
would have thought you could throw coins, though. I'll tell you.
You didn't really miss much because the rain fell. there's a young man who was here asking for approval the night before. So I said, if the rain falls, it's all right. He says, no, I'm not invited to come tomorrow, but you did yesterday. Because I said, no, what we'll be doing tomorrow night, you can come and see. It's just a tape we're showing. Videotape. And he said, all right, I'll come. So he came last night and we were showing the biosonic tape with the geometry. Mm-hmm. And while he's listening and looking on, all of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, he says, and then somebody, and then she looked up and said, a few minutes after, Adano, it's raining. And this guy
was, I was a Delta and the moon came and I had to go to
Russia. That was beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Well, so we'll have an initiation event tonight.
Great. I'm going to ask you, yesterday an interesting thing happened in my office.
Mm.
This couple came in with their two children, and there was a young toddler. And I really didn't notice him. He was just buzzing around. And so I'm working out figures for the parents or something, doing that part of my job. And all the, I don't know if the thought was before or after, he ran into the table. And I thought, something has just happened to him. And being very cool, it's not good to go, something has just happened to him when the parents are right there. So I went in, and he had run into the table and hit his head right here, and blood was coming out. And it wasn't a lot, it was an apparent small injury. You know, and he cried a little, and then he looked at me. Why did that happen? And then his parents came and sat at my desk. He just stared at me from then on. who's, you know, when he first came in, I just noticed him as a young kid. Just beautiful. Why did that happen?
Well, you didn't want to tell him originally, don't run around and be a nuisance.
Right.
So, by conserving the mouth, he had to learn to be respectful to the environment he's in. So he's learning to discipline himself to what we call environmental discipline. You know, we have environmental massage, environmental adjustments, and environmental disciplines.
Okay.
So he just got an environmental adjustment in the form of discipline.
He did.
Now, if you had told him not to run around in your office, it might be different effect. But because he had to learn it that way, then it was the only way he would learn it. See,
I feel like I should tell him.
No, if you had said something, then the first reaction is they'll do the opposite. They'll run it.
I've seen it happen.
Yeah, so you know, if by not saying anything, they are automatically put into the environmental discipline. Let me put it this way. The elements don't have a right to kill us. They have a right to harass us.
Okay.
We don't have a right to say they can't harass us anymore. We can only say harass someplace else. So, in a child situation, to tell a child made up of elements don't do these things is not practical. They're automatically going to fight back in their nature to do what you tell them not to do. That's because the elements are there to harass them. But if you didn't say anything and you allow the person to act, you automatically set the elements to be their own self-discipline. And so the person who is a living representation of all the elements would automatically be forced to be self-disciplined by the element. So their timing goes off and they bump into the environment made up of elements to learn how to discipline themselves. So you as an initiate didn't hurt the child other than allow the child to experience his own self-discipline without telling the child don't do and then the child might do. So if you had said don't do it in your office, it will. So since you didn't have to do that, and since you were an initiate, the thought is that you don't want any disruption mentally. So the elements themselves know that's the authoritative control. You're not stopping them from harassing. So they will push the child into a non-synchronous movement to be self-disciplined by the environment.
Well, he really got it.
Well... But then he quieted up.
Yeah, he did. Absolutely, he did.
Well, that's
cry
it,
or carry
that's
on, and the look on his face,
was
amazing.
He used to be a teacher and had students come running down the hall, tear in the place, and sit on make all the other kids angry. And he said to me one day, Adana, what can I do with these kids? I'm getting to the point where if I hit them, I'm going to be liable. He says, I don't want to get in any kind of trouble. What can I do to stop these ridiculous actions? Because it's taking up a lot of time. The other kid assessed him and says, take some cold water and keep a towel. And when the kid gets good and fired up, just go and throw the mug of water on top of his head or a glass and then wipe his face with the towel. That's 38. And so I don't know, you can't do anything like that. So you ask me what I'll do, and that's what I'll do. Okay. If there's anything, I'll blame you.
You heard that a lot, huh?
So the kid came in the classroom next day, and lo and behold, he ramped in with, and Fred walks up to the class and says, dump it on his head, and the kid full of shit, and the metal, and then the kid sit down, quiet, crawl after him, nothing like that. And he went on teaching the class. The next day, he's running from the hall, right through where the door is, put in, and he's making noise, and all the teachers are angry because he's the only kid that does this. And he rushed right into the classroom and the class. And again, Fred went over, took him out, and the noise stopped. In 3 minutes, the doors are all opening, the professors and all the college. What did you do to that kid? They don't hear him yelling. They see him there with his face wiping the towel. And Fred said, all I did was throw cold water in his face. You did what? Yeah, throw cold water in his face. And the professor says, coming on the path here. Why you did that? He says, a friend of mine told me. He says, am I in any trouble? He says, no, you're not in trouble. I says, there's no physical damage done to the boy. No, all he did is got a red face. And he says, I'll be surprised if he doesn't do it tomorrow. That's what the principal said when he walked in. Next year the kid is a beautiful kid. Today he stopped the class, passing grade after grade. And so the professor or the principal is telling every teacher to have a mug of water on their table. For the uncooperative student. They're cool than the hotheads.
So it's the water course.
The water ship down.
Look at her face. Yeah, she looks terrific. She really looks great. She looks great.
Did you want anybody help you stir there?
Well, I guess we'll set up the room there and meet that again. All right, your occupation has nothing to do with your health, but your occupation can make you sick if you're in the wrong place. If you're in the right place, your occupation is an asset to your health. Yes, for instance, all right, a person is very healthy but poor. I'm complaining all the time. They can't make a buck. Everything they do is falling apart. Now they're healthy, nothing wrong with them physically, but they can't make no living. Everything is falling apart. So that tells you right away they're in the wrong location. They'll never take care of their obligation. Then you find out by looking up the astrological cartography, and it'll prove that they're in the wrong location, number one. And 9 times they'll prove that their health is in that. But when the financial condition comes, they will indicate where to go. Now, if they just go for a vacation to find out for themselves, instead of something begins to move towards that, and they begin to see right away the area is valid, it is interaction.
They give examples in there of somebody that went to Monte Carlo and hit it, a young girl or something. They hit the, you know, the tables and everything. And when they did her astrophotography, that exact place was where it was really good for her own money.
Yeah.
And she hit it. They even did it, like, on Kennedy, and showing Kennedy's astrophotography line that he shouldn't have been in Texas.
Yeah.
that was not a good place. It didn't say something was definitely going to happen, but it likelihood it wasn't a healthy place.
So your cartography is an indicator for where to be in reference to your capability of fulfilling your obligations. And timing is what you put in to stay healthy. And season is your relationship. But in astrology, you already got season in the four movements of the signs, fire, earth, feel what that these are these four conditions of a spring, summer, winter, autumn. So they're called elements. Now in acupuncture it is the five element law. You have to have five to function as a human being. So the five resonances that control the elements. So we haven't found any way to get around five, to be a human being and to be three-dimensional and to move. Below five, it's not possible. Your hand is an indicator, it cannot work. Sonic resonance couldn't work below five. So you have the four here, and the fifth one is the host mantra. These are guests, but they are cooperative guests. They're not non-cooperative. That's what we're going to learn today.
Which one of the Solomon workshops is it that you talk about planets and the organs?
The one he did at midnight one time.
That was something we were discussing that night. It's called the internal astrology. Sometimes. It's the internal astrology of how it works in the internal organs. But you see, why we don't teach it right away, because most people don't know how their external organs work. And until you get the external organs working, then when we line it up with the internal astronomy and astrology, then you see how it connects. And that was what we were discussing, that internal astrology. The internal organs. Ginger brought that up that night.
Sounded like ginger studies.
But we'll do it. But the reason why we can't push it too fast is because most of us don't have any reference to the chemistry, you see, because it deals with chemistry, you see. So the class 2 and 3 and 4 gets you prepared for the external chemistry of your body. Class 5 will get you ready for the internal chemistry. How they connect, you see, you have an external part and the internal. See, it's your body's a musical device. So that means that there are 8 movements, and then they spin another 4, which makes it 12 signs of the zodiac. So your whole body is a zodiac, your whole body is a cosmos. It's a miniature cosmos to itself. Therefore, it can move and have dominion, but it can't own anything. And so the elements are set up like little packages all around us to harass us. But they're not set up to kill us.
Come in.
We are set up to organize them, but not to eliminate them. So they have a right to harass us, we have a right to organize them. Together we have a reciprocal exchange. Harass me, but don't kill me. Go play somewhere else, but don't bug me now. Come back when I'm ready. See? So those are the things we can say to one another. If somebody is bugging you, so fine, but bug me tomorrow. Today I'm busy. So you can read the book. So
that to tell them they can do it tomorrow?
The stars foretell, but they don't come tomorrow. And then tomorrow come back tomorrow.
Okay.
you see, living the moment is what Brother Jesus is talking about. He said, be peace. He didn't say, don't come and harass these people. Mm-hmm. Peace, be still. So the wind got still, the water got, but then we'll say you shouldn't come back and harass them tomorrow.
But he didn't tell them they could either.
Well, tomorrow is a different day.
He just said, be still. He was living the moment.
Sure. The fact that you're exposed to the idea of their teaching, living in the moment.
He's been trying to drill out these ideas for a while. At first, he didn't understand that the feeling sort of baffled us, why he would let us know, like he's moving from one action to another, because he's quite a bit involved. Taxis from 10 miles away, and being sure you're going to have all this, nice swimming and things. But finally, when it was like, he's explaining that, that's why he wrote that intentionally, you know, when he's going to leave. He wants you to just be concerned right this moment and not worry about whether you're going to have a taxi tomorrow or this afternoon or whatever. And so there's a powerful lesson. Yeah. Anybody here know about dreams? Huh? I think this is an intimate enough group I could tell us other than experience. Is it time? Yeah. Anybody dream experience? You? Not you? What does luggage or bag?
What does
an object bagging?
She's got a whole talk on it.
I know what my mom thinks that when I went.
What does baggage?
What I finally concluded, if you dream about baggage,
All right. No, the thing is, the luggage or baggage is indication of your unfinished karmic debt. That you're living out at the moment.
Yeah.
See, because pick up your cross and follow me is pick up your luggage and walk.
Okay. Here's what happened. I decided that I would leave earlier than I had planned to. And come right back. Okay? So I thought, well, it's no use taking my suitcase along, I'm coming right back. And so I got home. I realized I used up my ticket and couldn't go right back. And so I left my baggage there. Mm-hmm. And the bottle always talks about never carry excess baggage, which is all your problems and your...
Correct.
And now you said the other word. I hadn't thought about that, the unresolved karma.
Yeah.
So coming home, I felt like this tremendous load had lifted. I'm free.
Right, exactly.
That big shell that was encompassing,
yeah.
You know, free of happy and energetic. And
yeah.
Then I realized too the healing and all that.
And that's what it implies. There's a story that goes like this. There was a man who was carrying a bag on his back.
Yeah.
And he went walking all over. And finally he came to a statue of Shiva. And he was so tired and said to Lord Shiva, I'm tired of carrying this load on my back. I sure would love to carry something lighter. And the statue made no remark. Then he noticed a pigeon came along and sat in the statue. And again he made the remark, I'd like to carry something lighter. And the pigeon dropped a load of his head. By that time, the statue said, well, put down your bag and pick up anyone you want because there are many bags there in front of the statue. And so he was kind of surprised that the statue did talk because he saw all these little bags all there. So he picked it up and he took down his and he started walking to pick up anyone that he could feel confident to carry. After 1 hour of trying to find the right one, he found one that he could carry, and he laughed. He found what he was looking for. But to his amazement, it was the one he brought.
I thought you were telling a story about how a man got on the train and kept the canary on his shoulder. Why do that? Why not just let the train carry it?
So we only carry our own cross. That's how Jesus used it in his sermon. He says, pick up your cross and follow me, don't pick up mine. So the luggage is an indicator that what you're working with, and if you don't feel trapped by it, you can put it down and forget about it. Then you're free. Yeah. And that's the same thing with you take Atlas. Atlas was carrying the world on his shoulders. That's the each country or ethnic group or religious group all try to use a model. And so he was standing in front of the oracle, and the oracle says, why don't you drop the world? Why carry it on your shoulders? He says, oh no, I need to carry the world on my shoulder. But I'm tired of carrying it on my shoulders. He says, well, surprise yourself. I can't. I have this job. I have to carry the world on my shoulders. And the oracle says, you don't have to carry the world on your shoulders. Surprise yourself. He said, but the world will fall apart if I don't carry it on my shoulders. And so the oracle says, wait and see. So to his amazement, he decided once and for all, okay, I'll trust the oracle. So he drops the world. And to his amazement, he stood up. The world stood there and kept on spinning regardless of Atlas. And he says, oh my gosh, why wasted all this time till now?
That was just a joke.
No.
No, what?
The last time I came through here was in September, right? A couple of weeks before I came through, I was asked to perform a wedding. At this wedding, in this home, there were pigeon cages. And the host came out and opened the pigeons to let them out to play. All the guests were there, and there was one guest who came, and to our amazement, he was the only one that the pigeon dropped a load on, right in his glasses. No one else in the whole entire wedding had any such gift from him. And he laughed because he said he deserved it to the fact that he was very not cooperative in the past with group association. So he was given an experience to be cooperative in group association for the first time by coming to a wedding and being the only individual that the pigeon delivers a load on his glasses. And I laugh and I says, that'll make you see better from now on. And he laughed. The pigeon did that to him. He was approved that he could see the world better. And it's funny. He went and washed it off and he came out a laughing person. He has changed tremendously. He does see the world better.
Do people who have pets owe something to those?
Oh, yes.
And as you said, that they've abused them or neglected them in some previous...
Yeah.
Yeah.
thought a master didn't have to take on.
They don't have to, but they want to. What he says, people ask him, why do you take on so and so and so? Well, he had a stroke. That was when he was mad. He said, when they reach the point where they have no judgment, he doesn't let them know what they then he takes on what is something he needs.
Well, look at it this way. You just put on your brand new dress that you bought from the store to go to a party, and your kid came running in, fell right on the floor and busted his nose. And a drop of blood flew up on your nice brand new dress.
Probably a white one.
Yeah. What would you do in a circumstance like that?
Not think about the dress at all.
Not think about the dress at all, but go ahead and do what?
Clean the kid up.
Clean the kid up. Good. After you clean the kid up and you go to the party with a little drop of blood on the dress, you'll be the talk of the party. What an unusual design you have on your dress.
Especially if it was Monday.
Especially if it was Monday. So the trap is this. Where the drop of blood fell on your dress, it made a design like a star right on your chest. Now it's a brand new dress. Kid fell down, banged his head, and the blood shot up, hit the dress, but it came up like a star on the dress. But you paid no attention to the dress, you went ahead and took care of him and got him up. But you didn't want to take off the dress because you were late for the party. And when you arrived at the party, you became the star of the party because you were wearing the most unusual dress with this beautiful red star in it. Nobody thinks it's blood. You know it's blood, but they think it's what? The special design, put it into the cloth. See how sometimes when we let go, the things that we think are going to threaten us turn out to be the wonders of our life. And that's what they call living in the now every time. But I put it another way. Living is in the now is what Jesus referred to as the pearls of great price. You cannot rehearse them. They're unique to you personally at that moment, and you can't share it with nobody. So to say cast your pearls before a swine, you cannot do that. You can't tell anybody something that you have lived. They wouldn't accept it. And therefore, their minds would not relate to it. So the best thing, you begin to realize that every moment you live is unique, it's a pearl, and you can't share it, and it's yours. And that's why no human being is a failure in their individuality. Every human being is a success because they're living the now. Regardless they like it or not, no matter how they try to get around the now, they can't, because that's what they're actually living. Their minds may drift to tomorrow or yesterday, but if they were to reflect on every instant of now, they wouldn't trade it for something worse. But they can't trade it for something better, because they actually live what was supposed to live. So we're always living the utmost every moment. It's called to the utmost in life, living in the now. So when people think utmost in life means something greater than. That's not the intent of these people. To the utmost in life is living the moment now with the utmost energy flowing through your nostril. And you have it, and it's there. The next one is to the utmost. So we don't really feel left out or lost anymore when we accept what we are. Well, is a tree beautiful without leaves or because it has leaves?
Either way it's beautiful. Hmm? Either way it's beautiful.
Good. Enjoy. And that's what we are. We are the leaf and we are the tree. But I'm glad you're going around and see what everyone is finally zeroing in on to make us more conscious of the now time.
So is that what you left the karma behind?
Yeah. You see, the supreme deliverance of karma is to walk away and leave your shadow. And when you look in the mirror and you don't see it anymore, you know you have arrived. Well, after all, who wants to carry a shadow with them?
Good morning.
They say the saint has no shadow and Dracula has no shadow. They both have arrived. They both have arrived.
They're both God.
Right. There you go. That's right.
I wonder why it's called second and not first.
Tell you why.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, I know, but the sonics of it.
No. You are the first in the actual containment of the ear. Mm. And having the opportunity to talk to yourself in the second. So the second follows, providing you the opportunity to live, to talk back to yourself.
So what is first?
What is first and who is second?
It's that old joke of what's on first and who's on second, and I don't know who's on third.
That's right.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
So if you can figure out who is on third, you know it.
Then you get to home base.
Right, you got to home base.
You figure that out, you're
right,
home base.
Right, you're home base. Okay. But the way you got it is this: what's on first, who's in second, I don't know is on third.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know is the right answer. Mm-hmm. Where is that the right answer?
In the future.
No. I'll tell you a story.
Wait a minute. Okay. Got enough tape for a story.
There is a king, his name was Janaka.
Oh.
And he had a student by the name of Sakuntala. And Sakuntala was the son of a brother disciple called Vyas. And then Vyas was having Sakuntala in the womb with his wife. He dictated the entire Bhagavad Gita to the wife while she was in the pregnant state. And when the boy was born, at the age of 4, the boy came right up to his dad and looked at him straight and repeated the entire Bhagavad Gita word for word. The father was very impressed of his accomplishment. And at the age of 13, the boy came to him and said, "Dad, you are my guru, you must initiate me." And the dad says, "No, your guru is somewhere else." So he wanted to go and see his guru to get initiated. So the dad took him to the castle and he said, "See that king sitting over there in that chair? That is your guru. You go to him and ask if he needs you." So the boy said, "All right." And the father went away. But he kept looking behind the bushes to see what the king was doing. And he noticed that the king was smoking and playing and all the girls were dancing and enjoying himself and singing. After a while, he shook his head and he said, "This can't be my guru. This guy's a materialistic guy." So he went back home and he told his dad, he says, "That is a materialistic king. He's not a guru. He can't be." So the father says, "No, that is your guru. You got to go back." So he goes back a second time just to please the dad. And he's peeping around the wall, looking. He don't want to go up to it. And all of a sudden, the king does like this. Signals the guard. He says, "Go behind that bush and bring that little boy out from behind there." The king even turned. Didn't turn. Yes. The guard went over and caught the guy. He brought it to the king. And when he bring him to the king, he says, "Well, so you are Sakuntala, the son of my great brother Vyas." By that time, the kid don't realize he's been exposed and all his frustrations are falling apart because he had a document to introduce him, and before the document is even introduced, he's already exposed. So the king said, and then all of a sudden, he disbanded the group and they stopped talking God. While they're busy talking God, one of the guards runs and says, "Your Majesty, your castle's on fire." He looked up, he says, "Don't bother us. I'm talking God with my friend here, Sakuntala. You go save yourself." He ran away. A couple of hours after, the guy came back. "Your Majesty, please. All the castles are all burned down. Just around the garden, right here, the fire. Please save yourself." The king looked up. He said, "Save yourself, sir. I'm talking God with my..." And while he's busy talking God, the kid is doing like this now. He has a... He's trying to occupy it. The fire's getting close to him. And the king is busy talking. And the king opens his eyes. And seeing it in the fire to out it, said again. And the king said, "Ha ha ha, look who is materialistic. You're more materialistic than me. I don't give a hoot about castle." The kid is really frozen now. So the kid said, "Okay, end the fire, new castle." By that time, the kid is blown away. Brand new castle. So he said, "I'll tell you what, I can't accept as a disciple. But only because, you're the son of my great brother, Vyas, I'll give you a test." Now, he took 2 coconut shells filled with oil, a lamp. He said, "Now you hold this in your hand and walk right through my castle and see all the beautiful things that are in there and come back and tell me what you see." So the kid took the test. He went 10 hours after the kid is there holding the 2 containers of oil in the lamp burning. What he was told while he was going, "Make sure you don't drop no oil on my carpet." So when he came back after 10 hours, the king said, "Well, did you see what is inside of my castle?" He says, "Oh king, I was too busy trying not to drop oil in your carpets. Didn't have a time to observe anything." He says, "Well, you fail. I can't accept as a disciple." The kid is all thrown up now. He's sitting there And he read the tips just for a few hours, and he said,
only because you're my great brother's son, he asked, can you one more time? Go now, try it.
And the kid goes, 24 hours pass, the kid doesn't come back. So the kid go looking for the boy. So he's pushing the gate open to go into the big, long section. And you see the boy sitting like this, holding the two lamps, looking at the blank wall. And by the time he pushes the gate to walk in, he hears the voice say, hail, O King, name any room you want. I'll describe it to you in detail. He says, never mind, you passed the test. By that time, you know the boy had done his work. He said, but now that you passed the test, I have one more test to accept you as a disciple. And he said, what is that test? He says, well, I want you to go and visit my brother, Yama, Lord of Death. And when you're there, bring my pen that I forgot there back. And that was the test. So, the Shakuntala took off and went to see Lord of Death. Pushed through the door where the Lord of Death was living in his castle. And he saw the King of Death sit there. And the Lord of Death says, you're here, you can't go back. Who are you? And the boy says, I'm Shakuntala. He says, so what? You're here, you can't go back. He says, but your brother sent me to see you. How is he doing? Fine. But you can't go back. You're here in my domain now. And he asked me to bring back his pen. You can't go back. You're in my domain. And there's the pen right on the table in front of Yama, Lord of Death. So Shakuntala says, if I ain't dead completely as yet, and I came on my own, can I ask a question? And if you give me the right answer, would a dead man use it? Now it's up to the Lord of Death to give the right answer or the wrong answer. If he gives the right answer, Shakuntala can pick up the pen and go home. If he gives the wrong answer, Shakuntala will have to stay there. So, who's in first, what's in second?
And Lord Yama, being the Lord of Death, already knew what the script was and decided he would give the gift and play his part and say the correct line and send Shakuntala back with the pen.
Then he didn't say, what the answer is?
I don't know.
Congratulations. It's the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you pick up the pen to see if it's right, by saying yes, he become the Lord of Life. And if you pick up the pen to see the pen door right, he still become the Lord of Life. So you have to say,
I don't know.
That's right.
Which means there's only life anyway.
Because anytime he touched the pen, it would be the end of his role as Lord of Death. Either yes or no. And Shakuntala was attracted. And so when he said, I don't know,
have to
let Shakuntala go back home.
So it's a home run.
Maybe older. I put it there because it flakes off. But no. Go ahead and open it. It's like that one we brought from Devil's Tower.
Wow.
The next can't live. She'd be talking right here in the house with her. Spend time at Sai Baba and all that to learn this spontaneous. We've got it here in America to the moment while they're walking in the woods in India.
So higher consciousness is available through commitment to the reaction of the moment.
That's right.
Which, that's a command performance?
How about when you're doing this?
That's more important too, because you got to do this, but you can't think it.
It's major training. good going this way. It's probably better going backwards.
Yeah.
So he's going to drive right off the mountain.
That's good.
We're on a trip, man.
I notice.
We have a new video. Zip, zip, zip.
Yeah. As I said a long time ago, the automobile is a modern man's guru.
Yeah. Teaches him a lot of things.
Because you're behind the wheel, you're not a passenger. And the moment is your surprise. Sense of mathematical reason is going to put you at the position.
All right. I like that.
Like that?
Yeah.
And you're training.
Oh! Oh, I feel that.
What I like this is when you sit down and look back from a car.
Wow.
Oh.
You ever fly in a plane where you have to sit down and look backwards to the other window? Mm. That was my first experience in a plane.
No,
they had to cross into your seat facing the back of the plane instead of the front to the pilot.
No.
How did it feel?
That's, I guess.
Mm. Well, see, I did that with when the children were there because I was looking the back way to see what they were doing there. I was.
I think we heard that before.
Did you see where he was?
Yeah, he definitely.
There ain't much road there.
Yeah,
a little bit on my
over
side.
The line.
Yeah, look at that.
And you were driving your
motorhome.
Oh, yeah, I didn't have much room, McDonald.
That's right.
This looked real narrow.
Now, where is this?
Glacier Park.
Glacier Park.
This is the Going to the Sun Road.
Aptly named. Mm.
It was built in the 1930s. Wow. They did a heck of a job.
Well, they repaved that, I guess.
Yeah, but it's not very wide.
That's what Jody's part.
Yeah.
They all are, Ed.
I like that too.
We went through a tunnel in Zion National Park. It was a mile and a half long and just this narrow. And black pitch.
Thank you.
What a note.
That's a good ending of the evening.
Take that.
Wild ride.
Thank you.
It certainly was.
See you, Anna.
Thanks for everything. Thank you.
All is there.
Whether or not you do it, you mean? That's what I'm asking. You talk about coming to do the booster charge.
Yes. The booster charge is primarily to help you to appreciate the love that you've got that triggered the responsibility. Many of us fall back because we don't feel it. Worthy. Before the approval, how many people feel unworthy? And after the approval, how many feel they're lucky? But they don't think it's costly.
So the booster charge is a formality too?
It's to help you to hold the focus.
What I'm saying is your physical presence necessary for the booster charge? I want to hear that.
Well, you ask a battery to charge it.
Yes.
A battery.
That's true. Then a physical presence of a battery charger is necessary.
So that's how Jesus went to John the Baptist as a booster. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone.
Well, it appears then that as of now, at least, I will have to be working tomorrow evening during the festivities. And I would like to request, please, a booster charge.
Put it in your nose.
Put it in my nose.
If you have the booster charge, write it. Do you breathe?
Yes.
Are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine. Just great.
Tell me how the air feels to your nose.
How my ear feels to
your ear.
Air. Sweet and clear. It's getting cooler. Then my who is confused. Well, I thought we established that your physical presence was necessary for the booster charge, and what I understand from this is that hooking into Equiflow is the booster charge.
At the end, you're going to walk along. Am I going to walk for you?
No.
You're going to be walking in Equiflow?
So your being here encourages us to hook in with the Equiflow if we've forgotten to do that.
Who hooks up the battery to the battery charger? But the person hooking it up isn't doing the battery charging.
So we just got a booster charger.
Yeah. You just didn't want to do before.
So I can do that anytime.
Oh, sure. What we call automatic self-recharging.
Oh.
The new type of devices now. The battery. It's called permanent batteries.
You know, I've been real aware of that lately. I've been working just bell to bell every day, real long days. And the EquiFlow has been recharging me. I've been tired. I've been thriving. And I wouldn't have suspected I could do it with that incredible level of energy.
Well, that's what it is. The answer is in the wind, my friend.
It's in the wind.
You know, W-I-N-D.
The vitamin D.
See how smart these people get ready?
Osmosis, Sedano.
The hang-ups are a little bit enough.
I'm learning, too, that there's not a whole lot to say except to the people whom you came to serve,
right,
who call you up and ask you this or that. Other than that, there's not much to say.
Congratulations.
I get right.
But not because there's nothing much to say. The communication is not going on at another level.
Well, yeah, the words seem so superfluous and kind of...
There's another communication going on.
How come I'm not yet consciously aware of that all the time?
Right away, you want to go from first grade to 10th grade?
Yep. How's that for patience?
It don't work that way, friend. Gotta go through the process.
Maybe 8th grade?
No shortcuts. We practice shortcuts many times and muck up. So go through the process. See, that's what's bad about the something for nothing attitude carries over.
Well, it takes trusting the process, too, because when you move into these new phases, your who doesn't trust them. It just knows that they're different. And so part of you has to say, wait a minute, if it's happening, it must be okay. Trust it. Sometimes that takes better than other times.
Friend, if you got approval for initiation, and that rain or rainbow came,
mm-hmm.
did you trust?
Yes.
You know, I'm thinking, I'll trust that trust. Then what are you talking about? Any behavioral pattern in this world couldn't or trust that trust. That's why we call it love beyond belief. That's the only essential evidence you have that your love is not based on belief. Then you get the approval. So you can sit back and make that your ultimate moments from moment meditation. I live approval because that's all I can live. And that's what's going through that little spot there on the airport. Is he approved the bastard to go on board?
To go on what?
On board the plane.
Board.
So that's what we're talking about. The constant approval is the best.
And how many people say that we shouldn't be able to pass through those, and we do without a
sound? I went through
sound.
2 weeks ago when there was the guard was standing on the other side, and I had short sleeves on. And she looked at the other guard, and she said, "Her bracelets, those things on her arms should have made a noise. They should have made a noise, but they didn't." And I just smiled and kept right away. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was outside putzing around in the yard this morning. It was a gorgeous morning, a beautiful sunrise. And I called Dusty, and he didn't come right away. So I walked around the back of the motorhome and glanced down toward the wash and caught a glimpse of him standing right down there. But he didn't move. So I thought, well, that's strange. So I walked around the back of the motorhome, walked right down till I got within 20 feet, or 30 feet maybe, and it wasn't Dusty. It was a huge coyote who was just standing there looking at me and looking at Dusty, absolutely unconcerned about the whole thing. And I said, oh, well, no wonder you didn't come. Thank you.
Well, what's the essence of ethical thought and respect?
Seen the coyote? Now, Ray has told me that Navajo consider that a very ill omen for all kinds of reasons.
The coyote?
Mm-hmm. And I thought about it, and I thought, that's not what it means to me. They're one of the most flexible and adaptable creatures on the planet. They're very intelligent, very clever, very bright. That's what they mean to me. So I decided that was my association with them. That was the... That was
flexibility.
Yeah.
You came to give up the will to be flexible. Stop being rigid. Start being more flexible.
Then you don't accept what you are, you have to worry. Yesterday you had minerals in the form of food. It went away from your sight. Temporarily into your tummy. You felt strong because that was the purpose of the joining of the food. Today you went to the bathroom and the food is gone from you.
Mm-hmm.
And you call it waste. It goes back into the soil and comes back as food again.
But when it goes in and you feel stronger. But when you have the bowel movement, you feel stronger.
Good.
In and out, you feel stronger.
You're more now. So can you really get rid of anything?
Nope.
It's the motion that's the strengthening. It's the movement. It's the action of the universe that's the strengthening part.
All like that. But we're caught up in the who, the intervals of the action. And that is where our frustrations exist.
The intervals of the action?
I am the bubble, make me the sea. I am the bubble gum, you ain't gonna need. Bubble up, wants to make me the sea, you know. Or when the bubble explodes and becomes the water, what exploded in the bubble?
The limitations.
No. What is a bubble made of?
Oxygen.
Air. Oxygen, nitrogen, trace gases, and
hydrogen.
from the outside.
Of what?
Hmm?
From what?
From what?
Hear a bubble of water.
Bubble, a bubble, well, a bubble in the water. I've got all that. I've got the oxygen and nitrogen in it. Same as the outer atmosphere.
So what is a bubble?
Is it
water? Or is it air?
Yeah.
So you see, now you're nothing but hot air?
Mm-hmm.
So then the air explodes. What happened to the container of the air? Was there a container for the air?
The question, what is the bubble made out of? That must be water.
Oh, I see. But then, if it is water, why didn't you not flatten back?
Good question. Why did it?
Mm.
Why did it?
Why do you bubble if you're water? And how can the air be in the water if it's water?
Well, you can blow it in like with a straw, so it gets aerobic.
So?
So like it's formed on aerobic.
Then you'll be hot air in the water. You're blown into the water.
Mm.
And so you pop out of the water, what are you again?
Air.
The water or the hot air?
The hot air.
Then if you're the bubble and you're blown into the water to be formed by the air, are you the bubble?
No, you're the air that's inside the bubble.
So how did the water get to be water if there's no air?
Yeah, it had to come, the gases had to come out of there.
Tell me more. I am the what?
Now, if the gases, good question, if the water wasn't formed, would there be more more hydrogen and more oxygen in our atmosphere in proportion to nitrogen? Because if water takes up a lot of space.
So, you're the what? Make you the what?
No, yeah, I'm the bubble making the sea. Unless you want to be breathless, then you have to be both.
English is very great. It tells you and make you feel trapped, but it frees you. I am B. I can see. You say S-E-A. But it's S-E-E. And you bob up, you're B. B to C. Yeah.
Why didn't it?
B to C. You have to be
to
C.
Okay.
And if you don't be, you can't see. So if I am the bubble, I ain't completely be it. Make me the seat, so what? You want to go to the next level or what? Being the seat. Because C is all there is. Not S-E-A, S-E-E. And being is all there is. So, you have to bubble up. And you have to be the seat. To be or not to be is the question, if you see or you don't see.
And to be, see, you gotta be here.
You bet. So, I am.
But the who doesn't see?
Congratulations!
Who doesn't see at all?
Use
just perceives.
So you use your nose. The nose knows, but it doesn't tell. Nose, it thought it was a rose. Is an R a halfway in?
Yes, it is.
You got smart. You were halfway in.
Halfway in.
Not completely in yet.
Into the wind.
The answer is in the wind, my friend.
That's right.
Even he didn't understand his own statement.
That's right. The answer's blowing in the wind. Remember the song? Popular song? Peter Paul and Mary, wasn't it?
Bob Dylan.
What was the one? The answer is blowing in the wind.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Peter Paul and Mary did perform it, though. I don't know whether Bob Dylan had written it. I have a friend who, for many months now, has been having the experience of insufficient flow. She has been all over town and submitted resumes and filled out applications, and she has yet to find a job. She's concerned about being able to keep the house and caring for her daughter. She's handled it beautifully. She's staying very positive. She's trying to keep a handle on her emotions and her thoughts and trying to just keep going and tell herself this too shall pass. And she's asked me to help on many an occasion. Is there some way that I can be something I can tell her, something I can counsel her to do?
What kind of work you
do? Well, she used to be a school teacher, and then she was a purchasing agent for a big construction company. She's a very people-oriented person and a natural organizer, but she's applied for everything. She hasn't limited herself at all. She's just been all...
You just check her aspect of faculty?
No, I don't think so. She probably would say the $20 for astrocartography right now would be... I don't know that.
You see, the man with the genius was living in the wrong place. Left all his drawings and left the human race. His son took it and crossed over the border. And now he's a millionaire, but he didn't give a quarter to his father. So the father was in the wrong place, but he was a genius. The son's a small boy.
That's the one thing she has not up to now been willing to do, is relocate. That's the one thing she has consistently said no to.
There are many people who remind me of Cocoon.
Of who?
Cocoon.
Cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not here to change them, but to change themselves.
The people selling news at the drop of the hat, so they gotta stay where they are like me.
But
I'm selling a little home and get bracelets and all. I said, you do and I won't make them for
there's
you.
There's one other alternative.
Yeah.
The selfless service brings the reward. But can we perform selfless service anywhere without looking for a reward?
Not until the needs are met, I think, practically
so
speaking.
That's the challenge.
Well, she was trying to put herself in the righteous, I'll do and serve and I'll do this for people, and I said, nuts. I said, you can't think freely in terms of service until you've got a roof over your head until you've got food on your table and your basic needs are met. Is that valid to have told?
But only selfless service,
mm-hmm.
any place, any time.
Whatever's presented to you?
Whatever's presented has its own reward. But that you have to live a selfless service. It's a tough journey. It's like carrying that cross and knowing you're going to be nailed to it, or you've been told the night before to go betray me. Those are tough crosses. Tell a person what they're looking for, to be in a location, in spite of all the odds. There's no alternative answer than the selfless service. Selfless service brings its own reward. But it will transcend location, doesn't it? That's the only thing that transcends the cartography. So, when Solomon said there's a time and a place and a season for everything, he wasn't hoping that we'll all be fanatical world saviors, right? You'd be hoping that we'd be more practical individuals first. But then you realize it, then you're entitled to do selfless service. But you'll never find teachers or individuals will request you to do a selfless service first. They'll always require you to go be practical first in the other. And if you don't, you still want to persist, then selfless service is the last avenue. It overrides everything. It's what they call the glory of God.
If she has a choice.
That's why Mother Teresa does selfless service.
So see, they let her on airplanes without the money. She's on the plane.
It's all selfless service.
The challenge with choosing selfless service at this stage of her situation is that there might be that subliminal expectation of, now where's mine?
Yeah. And there she let herself down.
Yeah. But that's a cultural tape. That's that old program. Okay, God, I've done this. Now where's mine? Yeah.
But you're entitled.
Yeah, that I was going to say.
God owes you, right?
Isn't
that what you've said?
Gurdjieff used
to maintain the flow?
The way to consciousness is to always let humanity owe you something. Then God couldn't get rid of you yet because they owed you, and you kept refusing to take the reward just by so much. And that was his idea of how to achieve immortality. It's kind of an interesting. Always give a little more than you ever get, and you can't phase out because the karma is never balanced.
The thing is, we want to do the work, but then we don't realize there are only two ways to go do it: for yourself first, or for others. That's the last. For yourself first is the flower. For others is the fruit. Thank you. So we are entitled to go for the flower. And when we can't get the flower, we're going to settle for the fruit. But the fruit doesn't have no alternative than to be eaten. So selfless service is the guinea pig. Flower can always be on the vine and never be bugged. Bugged by a bug. So this would be obviously help. We had no way to continue the process because that's what the process is all about. Function of the flower or the function of the fruit. And Paul is saying the same thing. I rebuke you in your rejoicing, for I live and die daily in the Lord. That's the fruit. And the gifts of the Spirit is not the fruit of the Spirit. That is the who's, not the what. Nothing wrong with focusing on yourself first. Then you don't want to change, and you want to stay in the total fixation of then the what is, wherever you are at. So. Now, she may say to you, and if you say to her, maybe deep down you have not made a conversion of spirit, and you need to go and be born again in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It'll change your whole attitude to life and reestablish a new census of prosperity. Then you can go forth. Save the world.
That doesn't really sound like something I might say. She's a type O.
Yep, I would save imagine. The world. I would imagine a type O is a stubborn hearted, nitty gritty type. They usually want to stick it out to the end of the line.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Why should I suggest that to her?
Because what is she going to do?
She's going to say, what did you say? Mm-hmm. And how do I do that?
I don't think they're ready for it.
Mm-hmm. No. Is it still something for nothing in that?
Right now, what type of work she did before?
Right now, she's substitute teaching. Mm-hmm. And they call her on occasion, but it has not supported her and her daughter. Her most recent full-time regular job was as a purchasing agent for a construction company.
But she's still working as a teacher?
Substituting, yes, various different
then schools. Can she do something else beside that to compensate for the time she's teaching? House cleaning? Set up her own cleaning service? And do part-time teaching and part-time personal contracting to clean the house? To relieve those who are sitting in the chair every morning? Gentlemen, ladies, we are here to discuss. The next dollar is coming up. So they don't have to stay home late and worry about the floor being messed by the kiddies. She'll be working both ways, teaching them how to behave in school, cleaning up the house, and making money.
Yeah, sometimes it's, now I can't say for other people, but when I've gone to different areas, I've always found a job, usually within the first week and even earlier, in places where they said, there's no work available here. But I pumped gas, I washed dishes, and stuff like that, whatever came up. And
when we moved to Oregon, you never find white collar jobs in small towns. And David can offer three or four in small towns.
Yeah, I went to Redding. Now, do you remember Redding, California, when all the roofs caved in from the snowstorm?
Mm-hmm.
And all the retail clerks and everybody was out of work, and with all these people, and I said it was a disaster area. I had three jobs the first week.
Mm-hmm.
I was turning them down.
That's why my friend in Tennessee does total cleaning service, inside, outside. You name it, he'll do it. I've got contracts from the airport, big corporations, and theaters, nothing but it. You sit in the office, you dictate on the table and hit the gavel. We'll come in and you're gone home, keep the place clean, looking nice the next morning for you to sit down and hit the gavel. You go to work and tell the kids what to do, we'll come in, clean up the place, and then the kids come home, they got a nice piece place to mock up again. We are invisible, but we do the work and we're gone. But we're working for ourselves. That's what he does. His wife and his kids, everyone work and go to school.
That's the most amazing family. It's absolutely incredible.
Well, when he first came to me, when I first met him, he only had one little kid, a boy. And he says, so he was looking for work, and his dad, I said, look, you only got two options, David. Work for yourself or keep punching the clock. What do you want to do? Or you can go to school and do he said, I love landscaping, but I don't have the money. I said, well, do household cleaning, give you the freedom to go to school tonight, get your landscaping diploma, and then incorporate the whole thing, inside, outside, cleaning and designing. So he spoke to his wife. He said, all right, she'll go to work. She looked for a job at the waitress, and together they did it. He worked in the house cleaning, she helped him. The time she goes to the restaurant and work.
But he's been taking lessons for you, because me and my third wife and two friends, Hallie and Jenny, stopped in on him one time. We get there just about 4:30, and he says, oh, make yourself at home, just make yourself at home. I just got back from my daytime job. I got to run to my nighttime job now, and I'll see you sometime early in the morning. So we went and made ourselves at home. He comes in about 5 in the morning, wakes us up and says, oh, I'm back from work. Like, let me cook you breakfast and everything. He goes in the kitchen, breakfast, and all these kids, and he's working. I don't know where Dora was off. I think she was visiting you or something. Anyway, mm-hmm. He's doing all of that, and he says, okay, now just have a good trip the rest of the way, and I've got to go to my daytime job now. And I was just astounded. This guy's been taking lessons from us.
David, all right.
And he cooked his breakfast and everything, too. We said, no, you don't have to do it. Man, he's unbelievable.
But blood type.
David?
Combination.
David would be.
A big B. He's unreal.
She can go and go to work.
See if you can do it again, a third time. Come on. Yes, no, maybe. Well, yep. Gotta have a maybe.
Can't push Mother Nature. She's approved already. Don't ask her for.
She's not gonna do it. So she hasn't explored everything. She's had certain standards, and below that, she was not willing to go,
right.
Quote, below that.
In fact, that's your best idea. Go to 20 people and ask them how they get work. Sometimes they might even offer them work. Like one friend of mine's father, he went to this business and he said he wanted a job.
Well, she'd approved.
Anyway, he sat on the front porch of the business till I gave it to him during the Depression. He sat there and said, what are you doing? I'm sitting here, you give me a job. I got to work.
Yeah.
Okay, sat there after 2 days. I said, okay, if you want it that bad, you got it, buddy.
You know, I have had many, many people come to the door wanting to paint poetry. And my thought has always been,